welcome into episode 3 of the Morningside Hoops podcast. I love the threes you're making on your head, Steve. So I'm Kyle Matrician. That's Steve Merrill, having a lot of fun over there here in the Lisa Carnoy Lounge on the campus of Columbia University. Steve, we've got a fun episode this week, an interesting episode this week.
Yeah.
It's the first week of classes, so we really appreciate our guests taking the time out of their week to speak with us. We'll be starting with Cecilia Collins, a senior captain on the women's basketball team, and Blau Tor, a sophomore guard forward tweener on the women's basketball team. We'll be talking about their 4-0 start to Ivy League play after a win against Yale on the road on Saturday before they finally came home on Monday and defeated Princeton by a score of 58-50 to take sole possession of first place in the league standings. And Steve, who we got coming in on the men's side today?
Juniors Kenny Noland and Zinedine Bedry.
Wow.
Great duo. I'm looking forward to that conversation with those two and seeing how they responded from the Princeton game on Monday and, you know, turning the page to Penn at the Palestra on Saturday.
That's right. The Lions played two, as you were there, very highly competitive games against Yale on Saturday here at Levian Gym. I felt like every time I checked the score, they had like a 1-3 point lead in the second half. It was very close. It came down to the very end. Columbia had a chance to even tie it and possibly send it to overtime.
They did.
Against Yale. And then at Princeton, we will speak to the guys about what happened. I mean, you've got to take the positives out of that game. The fact that they led for, what was it, 38 minutes in that game.
Four lead changes in the last 2 minutes of the game. But I mean, I will say, you know, they did blow a 20-point lead in the game, but they also did that on the road last year at Harvard. And the next night they came out and they just crushed Dartmouth.
Yeah.
So this team can respond, and, you know, I expect that they will on Saturday, you know, against Penn.
Yep.
So, and by all means, you know, being 0-3, the season is not nearly close to being over, and there's a lot of basketball ahead of them. So,
I think they have a lot of positives to take from the non-conference season that can boost them into this part of the season. Obviously, they would have, they don't want to be in the position that they're in right now, but I am looking forward to speaking to Kenny and Z to kind of get their perspective from the weekend and kind of get, you know, where the team's at heading into a Saturday game at Penn, that, you know, they probably feel like they need to win.
Yeah. No, so. Absolutely.
Well, that being said, we're going to throw it to break. And when we come back, we're going to sit down with the women's team first, Cecilia Collins and Blau Tor.
We all know what comes with being a fan, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. Share a Coke with a friend. Coca-Cola, the official beverage of the Columbia Lions.
Welcome back to the Morningside Hoops podcast. It's our first interviews of the week, and we are sitting down with senior co-captain Cecilia Collins and sophomore forward Blau Tor. Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, I know classes have just started again this week, so I know your schedule is a bit different than it's been the last few weeks. We let Mia and Riley and Perry and Susie, they got away with the easy weeks, you know.
Yeah,
they were, their week was wide open. But how's class going so far?
Good. I mean, obviously, like you said, we had some time during the break. It's kind of like our pro season, and really just focus in, did a lot of skill work, which was good. So we were in the gym a lot, and I think it's been showing these past four games in Ivy play. But good to be back in class and kind of get back to like a routine of, you know, being in the gym and going to class and then, you know, games on the weekends. But yeah, it's been good.
Nice. Blau?
Yeah.
How class has been going so far?
They have been good. I think they're pretty tough this semester, but I like being in the routine again, so that's
good. That's true. It's good for everybody. It's good for me, honestly. I like the routine. I like when we get into Ivy League season and we play on Saturdays and sometimes Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, but it's always on the weekend and you have the week to prepare.
Yeah.
Steve and I have talked about this at length, but it's really nice. But let's introduce Cece. We obviously, you've been on our podcast before, but this is Blau's first time. So let's introduce our podcast listening audience to Blau Tor, a sophomore. I call you a forward, but you're listed as a guard forward. What would you call yourself? You play a little bit of both?
Tweener.
Yeah,
tweener. All right. From Barcelona, Spain, 6 feet tall. She goes to Barnard College. And I have no idea how to say the school that you went to before here. INS Joaquin Blum.
Joaquin Blum.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Same thing.
That's what I said. I'm just going to read some things from your bio in case people may not know too much. Combine 11 years of playing experience, it says, between five different Spanish clubs. With I don't have to list them all, Blau. Who was the last club you played for? It was
Cicla 21.
Yes.
Yeah, that thing.
Yes. And you obviously grew up playing in the Spanish club system, which is very different from how youth basketball is here in the United States. So delve into a little bit of your upbringing with basketball and how you got started and kind of, you know, how you got to here.
Yeah, it's pretty different. First of all, in Spain, we don't like play with the college, with the universities. There's clubs, so it works different. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the system, it's also like very different, and the culture, obviously, like people is different too. But yeah, like you can be as many teams as you want if they want you during... since you start playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's not that professional. Like, I remember my first club, we were the only like women's basketball team. And it's also like, here is a really good experience because we don't have those opportunities there. So that's why a lot of people from Spain and Europe are want to like do this opportunity, and yeah,
nice
experience.
Well, we're happy you're here now. Yeah. You've been a tremendous asset to the team so far in your year and a half. But let's talk about the team a little bit, shall we? I mean, you guys are seeming to hit your stride at the right time. 13-4 overall, 4-0 to start Ivy League play, alone in first on top of the Ivy League standings after defeating Princeton here on Monday, 58-50. Cece, we'll start with you. I don't want to make you talk about yourself, but on the stat sheet, you know, your numbers have been trending in the right direction the last few games. So that's nice to see, I think, from everybody, from my standpoint, from your teammate standpoint, from everything. But talk about the team aspect. What went right, you feel, on Monday against Princeton?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first half especially, we kind of accepted the fact that it wasn't our best and we didn't really follow the game plan as much as we would have liked. I think the first half we ended up being down 11 or 10,
30 to 20.
Yeah. So we knew like if we kind of put together a good 20 minutes that we could, you know, come back and dig out of that lead. And I think it kind of showed like a sign of maturity by us, mm-hmm. which I was really proud to see, that kind of we were able to start sticking to that game plan, especially in the third quarter. And we ended up holding them to, I think, six in the third quarter. So that was good defensively as well. And then kind of, I feel like once we kind of hit our stride in that game, it was like no looking back from there. So it's a good win for us. But there's just so much left to go in Ivy League and for the rest of the season. So
exactly. 4-0, 10 Ivy League games left. And really, yeah, beating Princeton is a big game, but you guys, I'm sure, like, have, you'll say to each other, like, haven't accomplished anything yet, right? All you've, exactly. You know, you've won four games, and if you go 4-10, that's not going to get the job done, right? Mm-hmm. So what has been the approach in practice this week, Blau, in terms of trying to turn the page and focus on Penn? And it's been nice, which we didn't even talk about. You guys were home for the first time in 47 days, and you had a tremendous crowd here on Monday.
I was going to ask about the
crowd.
Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, ask
no,
about
just,
it.
I mean, what, the six-point quarter? Right. And then the crowd explodes. Like, how does that play a hand in like what you guys do on the home floor with the crowd behind you?
Blah, blah,
blah. Not me to go.
All right, Cece.
Yeah. I mean, I think you said it with 47 days. It's been crazy just being on the road. I think we've started to embrace being on the road more as well, just like being like road warriors and all that. But yeah, playing in front of our fans, like, there's nothing like it. And I think, especially on Monday with that packed crowd, we just had that behind us. And once we started hitting our stride, like I said, there was no going back. So glad that we get to play again this Saturday against Penn. And I think they're talking about another big crowd. So excited for that as well. And yeah, I think we just, you know, especially I'm a senior and I just want to like soak it like up every time that like we have our community behind us. And yeah.
You were soaking it up on Monday.
I was trying.
You were. You were. I mean, the photo we used in the wind graphic of you slapping the floor. What, after you took a charge or something? Or was that after you took a charge?
No,
it was something?
They just fouled. I was like going for a rebound. And they
fouled you on the rebound and you hit the ground. Yeah, that was amazing. And then you confused everybody in the gym on the lane violation, which I think you got called for late in the game on the lane violation on the free throw. But then you were like smiling, clapping as you walked away. I'm like, oh, they must have called Princeton for a lane violation. You even fooled Lance, the play-by-play guy, because I went back and was watching that part of the game and he thought there was a lane violation on Princeton because of how happy that you were. So
good responses.
good responses. Yeah.
We like preach that all the time. Like obviously like I don't want to step in on Kitty's free throw, but
you're trying to get in position.
And like you're trying to get in a good position to rebound and it doesn't go my way, obviously, in that scenario, but I can't let it affect the next thing. No. I think that's what I was just trying to do, is like onto the next thing. So
Blau, so we will turn the page now to the Penn game. What's been the vibe, what's been the focus in practice this week? I know coach told you guys the day you beat Princeton, like, we're gonna celebrate this tonight, but then tomorrow it is all about Penn, right? So what has been the focus this week in practice?
We start off the week with like focusing on us, like things that we wanted to improve from the Princeton game. And today we spend more time learning and how to apply plan A, which is like how to defend ball screens, how to exploit their defense or have a better offense against them. And that's what we have been doing today pretty much.
And I think just same thing tomorrow. I feel like day before the game, like you just want to be as sharp as you can with all like the preparation and just making sure that, you know, everything that you've been, you know, preparing for and working on, like how Blau said, to just exploit them defensively and do whatever we can to stop them. So obviously that we want to be super sharp tomorrow, especially mentally, because the day before a game, you can't be doing a ton physically because you're trying to like save your bodies and, you know, rest and make sure you're good for the game, but got to make sure you're sharp mentally.
Does the familiarity help? I mean, usually, obviously you play each team twice in a season, but you only played this team less than 3 weeks ago and you're already playing them again. Does that help having less gaps between?
I think like it's that? Useful because we played them. It was the first Ivy League game. And we already find some like changes from the players, and I think that's good because now like we also have that fresh information about them, and I think it's like it's gonna be so much better for us to beat them.
And I think even obviously we played Cornell earlier this season, but then we don't play them again until our last game at home, so you know, like a lot can change, especially when there's that much of a gap in the schedule. But like Blau said, like it's only a gap of about a few weeks. So we did see like a few shifts in their starting lineup. But a lot of like they're doing the same things to exploit teams, and there'll be changes here and there and we'll have to adjust. But like I said, there's not that much time in between. So
And then, you know, not looking too far ahead, but on the horizon next week, I mean, how do you manage knowing that you guys have another, you know, every game's a big game and Penn's a big game at home. And like, just ask anybody who's followed this program 2 years ago when they beat Princeton on the road. Obviously, it was a back to back that weekend and then lost to Penn the next day. Right. And had a letdown. So how do you first make sure that you don't have the letdown this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of said it. You have to take every single game like just as seriously. Like we're preparing for Penn, we're not really thinking ahead. It's always just like next opponent, like locking in at what we have to do to be successful, because every single game is just as important in this league. Like if you drop one, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. So we know Penn's a good team, and they also have dropped a few games and they're going to come out and like we have a target on our back, so they're going to look to kind of steal one from us. But yeah, we just have to, like Blau said, stick to the game plan that we have. I mean, the coaches, like put together a really great game plan for us to beat them. So stick to that. And I don't think we should have any problems, but it has to be all 40 minutes. So
yeah. Yep. And one other thing I want to talk about is the strength of the Ivy League this year. I mean, including you guys, three teams, you, Princeton, and Harvard in the top 50 of the net, which, you know, coach has said to media members, like talks to not only the strength of those teams, but what they did in the non-conference to challenge themselves and put themselves in that position. So like, how nice is it to see this conference elevating itself, and really it provides you all more opportunities during conference play to get marquee wins?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like a long time coming, but like you said, last year, to have at one point Princeton was ranked in the top 25, and then obviously we beat them at home. But like I said, it's kind of been a long time coming. I think there's been a lot of like really good talent coming in and out of this league. I mean, even you see some of the transfers out of the Ivy League to do like grad transfers, you know, Caitlin Chen to UConn, and even Kyla Jones, like Northwestern, like people are going to high like programs in the country.
Jada Patrick graduated here.
Yeah,
went to
exactly,
Miami.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah,
KD went to USC and went to the final, or went to the Elite Eight.
We see that here at Columbia, but even just across the league, like there's just a ton of really good players. So it's cool to see now that people are getting like recognition. And especially last year to get the at-large bid when we weren't really expecting it. So, yeah, I think it's been really cool to see how much this league has evolved, for sure.
For sure. And Blau, like, I know you've been here. It's kind of you two both got here the same year, last year. So, like, from your perspective, like, talk about what this league and, like, playing against these girls in this league is like compared to maybe what you knew before you got here.
I think that playing against these girls, like everything, like basketball here is so much like strong and physical, because obviously like we work a lot, like our physic, and we lift a lot. And the system is really smart too. And I think this league, like obviously, is really smart. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know.
It translates, yeah. I mean, when you put a bunch of Ivy League kids like on a basketball court together too, like I think the IQ translates as far as like the academics to like the basketball court, and I think also the discipline translates. So I kind of like, I get what Blau's saying, especially like obviously you're gonna work out physically, but at the same time, like the Ivy League has some like really like tremendous athletes that are also like super disciplined as well. So I think you see that when you watch like people playing across the league.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I did this last week, and I actually want to bring this back this week, because like we said before, it's hard when people ask you questions about yourself to answer and talk about yourself. So what I want to do with the two of you is Cece, what have you, Blau, her playing time this year and her contribution to the team has been like much larger, like in terms of strictly in terms of minutes and playing time, increased from last year to this year. So what have you noticed, like the change in Blau's game and what Blau provides this team, maybe not even in games, but in practice every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think Blau's like so special just because of like how hard she works and like how consistent she is like with that work. Even last year, you know, coming in as a freshman, you're coming to a completely different country, first of all, not even speaking your first language. I give her like tremendous props for that. Like, it's very hard to, you know, to get used to that like new culture situation. Like, it's a different style of basketball here even than in Spain. So she's been just like so good at adjusting and dealing with adversity. And I think that's kind of translated over to this year as well. Obviously you have to keep growing as like from a freshman to your sophomore year, like you have to make a big jump. And I think she's done a really good job with that. And you just like know you're going to get Blau's 100% every day. So I think that's like what I really admire about her, especially in practice. And then as well as the games, like, you know, Blau's going to come in and like she'll have your back, and you're going to get 100% from her. So
thank you. That was nice.
Well, Blau, now you have to return the favor. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
No, yeah.
So no, but talk about not just Cece, but how the seniors on this team, which are Kitty and Cece, you know, the upperclassmen, I should say, how they've kind of taken this team last year getting an at-large bid, losing a player like Abby Shu, but seemingly like not even hitting a bump in the road and just picking up where they left off. So like, talk about how the upperclassmen have kind of like led this team into that new generation of Columbia basketball.
Yeah. Well, first, I think like for Sissy, like being a transfer is not easy either. And I think she did a really good job adapting to this program, because we have like a very strong culture and very strong principles and values. And I think she got that like really quick, and she started leading from the beginning. And obviously, like, she helped us a lot since last year. And overall, like, our captains, Kitty, Sissy, upperclassmen, I think that they're doing a really good job with us, because they know all the things that we need to know and we need to learn. So they're every day they're working a lot, letting us know what are we doing good, what not, calling us up if we need to, but always like taking care of us. And I mean, inside and outside the court, they are doing a lot for us, and I'm really happy to have them, because they're setting a standard that we need to reach all the team, and it's gonna make us grow as a team and be better next year too without them.
Thanks, Paul.
Very well said.
Yeah. Seeing as you are a senior, Sissy, why don't you share what your major is? And since I don't know if this is the last time we'll have you on this podcast this year, but just in case, share what your major is and kind of what your plans are after graduation, which I know is kind of hard to focus on because of what's going on in front of you.
Yeah. My major is political science, and I'm still thinking of like what I want to do after I graduate. I've tossed around the idea of trying to like play professionally. But I also had an internship this past summer at the NBA, which I really, really liked. I was an events intern. I was able to travel to like Las Vegas for the summer league. I helped out with the NBA draft, and I was just able to learn so much over the span of like 10 weeks. That I could really see myself in like that kind of environment again. So we'll see. I mean, I think like you said, right now I'm focusing on the season and kind of what's in front of me right now as a senior in college and a senior student athlete. But when the time comes, it'll be a difficult decision, but I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I'm open to whatever. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you do in your post-Columbia career.
Thank
but
you.
I'm also looking forward to seeing what you do over the next 2 months.
Yeah, I agree.
And Blau, I know you're a sophomore, but you go to Barnard. Is Barnard of the same rules where you don't declare a major until after your sophomore year, or have you declared your major?
Yeah, we have the same rules.
Same rules.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you thinking about majoring in?
Neuroscience. Yeah.
Nice.
Smart.
Wow. What do you want to be? You want to be like a?
I don't know yet. I don't know.
Why neuroscience?
I started doing biology, and I did not really like that. So I think that I'm more interested in like how people think and brains. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
very smart.
I'm gonna do that.
Well, she should. Dive into your brain, Steve. All right. On that note, I want to thank Sissy and Blau for taking the time today. Like we said, first week of classes. So we know your schedules are a bit hectic, but appreciate you stopping in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming us.
Hockey, it means the world to me. When you see me on the ice, you'd never know I was born with half a heart. But Dr. Basha and his team at New York Presbyterian re-engineered my heart so the right side does all the pumping. I had 3 surgeries before I turned 3, so I can go all out, especially when I'm on the ice. Half a heart? I'm all heart.
Welcome back to the Morningside Hoops podcast. Kyle Matrician, Steve Merrill, joined in segment 2 this week by Zinedine Bedri of the men's basketball team and Kenny Nolan of the men's basketball team. Z is a junior forward out of Algeria. You've really never been on this podcast before. I feel like we've sat down together and talked about this.
No? I really think so.
Oh my God. Well, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yes. I've definitely, maybe I had this conversation with you another time. and Kenny Nolan, also a junior from Apex, North Carolina. Not your first time on our podcast.
No, not
quite. Were you on last 2 years? This is year. Is this number three?
No, this is number two. I wasn't
number two.
I wasn't good enough to make it first year.
You know, now you are. No, we appreciate you guys coming on. Obviously, the first week of classes has begun for the spring semester, so you guys have a bit more on your plates now that classes have started, so appreciate you guys cutting out some time this week to talk to us. Let's catch up a little bit from the basketball perspective. You guys played Princeton this past Monday on Martin Luther King Day at Princeton, 71-67. Win for the Tigers, and we'll talk about this game a little bit. You guys led for the majority of it, up 20 in the first half, up 18 at halftime, up 10 with 5 minutes to go, and Princeton makes a run. So I think the people who listen to this podcast just want to hear from you guys a little bit, and Kenny, we'll start with you, about, you know, what do you guys feel like happened in that last 5 minutes, and like what have you talked about since then?
I mean, yeah, I think really it comes down to Princeton in that last, like, 5 minutes, I guess, did everything right, I guess, to win that game. And in that sense, we also did everything necessarily that we, I guess, like, not the ideal way to do things in the end of the game. But I think what we did learn is, you know, like, you can't necessarily control certain things outside of the game or how well Princeton's shooting or different things like that, but we can control how we respond to it. So I think moving forward, I think that'll be definitely a big thing for us. In the sense, like, if a team is going on a run or that kind of thing, just using that experience, you know, to, I don't know, like, hopefully help us later down the road in a similar game where that could definitely possibly happen, because, you know, basketball is just a game of runs.
Yeah. Anyway, so. And a lot of people are going to point to that last 5 minutes of that game, right? But you guys did so much right for the majority of that game. So what are the positives that you take away that you try to, like, reflect on that you guys did so well that you feel like against Princeton for most of that game?
I mean, yeah, I think that our offense, like, the way that we've played together, I think has been great all year. And, like, even in our first three games, I think, like, it wouldn't necessarily show up in the wins-loss column, but, I mean, we have played, I think it's, like, the top three teams right now in the Ivy League. So I think it gives us a ton of confidence moving forward, knowing in all three of those games, like, we're in a position to win necessarily. So I think basically using that as confidence to go towards the rest of the Ivy League and really assert ourselves that way.
Last year, you guys started 0-3 in the league. Same three teams were the first three games. So similar situation to last year. And it wasn't over at that point of last season, and certainly not over at this point of this season. I guess I would say, you know, you guys put yourself in a position last season to be right in it until the final, like, week or so. So that can obviously still happen this season. You know, what do you take from that start last year and, like, sort of learning that, hey, like, this is not over. Like, we have plenty of games left to right the ship here.
Yeah, I can answer that one. Yeah, I think compared to last year, we just have more experience. So I think we're going to respond better than we did last year. Obviously, like we just said, we played the best three teams in the league. And I think we, you know, the reality is we beat Cornell in the second half of the first game. We were in a close one with Yale, and then we led Princeton for 38 minutes. So we know we're right there. It's kind of just like that breakthrough that we need, that needs to happen. And I think it's the time to do it. So we've just been talking about responding. You know, we did a good job of building solid culture up to this point. And I think how we respond, I'm curious to see how we respond.
Yeah, we had G on this podcast earlier in the year, and I think he said something that really resonated with me, and I'm sure he's said it around you guys, that he said, like, you know, in your basketball or in life, you're going to be humbled at some point. And it's about how you respond to that, you know, when you get humbled. Like, that has even happened to you guys in the non-conference this year. You guys had such a great non-conference season going 11-2, but you guys, and this is what G was alluding to at the time when we spoke to him, were humbled a couple times, right? Kind of a bit of a, okay, we have things to work on. So you talk about Saturday at Penn being a response game, right? So what's been going on this week at practice to kind of, like, what are you focusing on for the Penn game?
I think, honestly, we prepare the same way we prepare. I think we've been doing a good job preparing. You know, the scout team has been doing a good job, the coaches. So I think it just focus on just, you know, playing a little harder and, like, a little more with more details, like, intentionally the last couple minutes of the game. And obviously, I think that has been hurting us the first three games is rebounding. So we've been focusing on that a lot. And yeah, like overall, I think the preparation has been great. It's like just the outcome of the games has not been what we wanted it to be. And we don't change nothing about how we approach the games. I think we approach every game the same. It's the same mindset. We just got to finish the games.
I would just say this is such a different team from last season. I mean, it's the same group of guys mainly in the core. But, like, what do you think's been different in terms of, like, the success you've had? Because we've asked this question to, you know, pretty much all our guests that we've had on this year. So we want to get your perspective as well on this.
Mm-hmm. I would say experience. Like you said, we have the exact same, not the exact same. We lost Zay and Josh and Liam, but you know we have, I think top three in like returners in the country.
Yeah,
so
top six. Yep.
I think we played with each other, like Kenny said, for a very long time. We know each other's tendencies. We know the offense. We know the defense. We haven't changed nothing from last year, so we kind of just we have good chemistry and experience. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, to kind of piggyback off that statement too, I think like we've just remained. Like process oriented instead of results oriented. Like we talk about like our freshman year, I don't know how many, maybe like 7 wins that year. Last year was like 13 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think just kind of like each year kind of instead of being results oriented, like all the wins, you know, that kind of thing. I think Coach Ingles has done a great job in like instilling that mindset in us and just becoming like process oriented. Like we come into practice every day. Just trying to get better each game. We try to learn something and take it with us forward, and then eventually, you know, hoping the results will pay off. And I think now we're starting to see those results.
And
so,
you know, you mentioned the job that Coach Ingles has done with your group. Just tell us a little bit more about the impact that the coaching staff has had, because the coaching staff has been, you know, around now a couple years together, the group that's assembled. Just tell us, like, the impact they've had on you, like, like as a player and as a person.
I would say for me personally, I think that they've definitely done a great job, like helping me understand the game more, from a basketball standpoint, but then also like off the court, I think from like a leadership standpoint, Coach Ingles is always harping on, like this being like a leadership academy also, like apart from basketball. And I think that from everybody, like 1 through 18, I think Zeno could probably attest to this, like coming in freshman year, like maybe not everyone had like a very strong voice or whatever it was, but I think by the time that you leave, or even now, I feel like I have more of a voice and more of a, you know, like direction with what I want to do than I did when I came here. And I think a large part of that is thanks to our coaching staff and everything that they've taught us through basketball, but then also like off the court and that kind of thing. So,
and then, you know, with this first year class, you know, you mentioned like having a voice now, and like you guys are giving them a ton of guidance, and it seems like it's a really good group of guys. We had Mason Ritter on last week, and Zine, you know, he's starting in your place now. You've been out the last couple of games. Just like, what have you seen from him and like his development since he got here?
Yeah, I think Mason, you know, since he got here, I've always like known he's a great player, has great potential, but I would say he's definitely gotten more comfortable. You know, he's a shy, you know, sweet guy, you know, mm-hmm. he doesn't really like less like confrontation necessarily, but I think he's grown into a more of like a leadership role. He like communicates more now, you know, you know, so I think I'm proud of him for that. And also, he's been playing great, you know, the past couple of games. I thought Mason had the good couple of games. And, you know, I think he's getting more comfortable and he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, he had 2 big blocks down the stretch of the Princeton game in the same possession.
Yeah.
So he's leading the team in blocks, which, I mean, for a first-year guy, and he's only playing 12 and a half minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty impressive. Kenny, how about, like, guard play from the young guys? Like, who stood out to you and, like, what have you seen from them?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the guys in my position, at least, like Josiah and Gerard, I think just from them coming here and just like their level of understanding and like our offense and that kind of thing, because like you come from a high school program where like everyone on our team was probably the guy wherever they were, like whatever, averaging 20 points or whatever they were doing. So I think when you come here, I think it's the first thing is realizing like, how do I fit into what everybody else is doing? And I think they've done like a tremendous job with that. I mean, you take Josiah, he's come in and had big plays and big moments, Gerard also. So I think it'll be exciting for sure to see those guys grow and continue to get better with time, for sure.
Absolutely. Kenny, you've been such a big part of the offense this year. You've definitely taken, in my opinion, one of the biggest steps on the team. Out of all the guys that are back, you know, you're in the starting lineup now. You're scoring. You have as many points as you did last season already at this point of the season. You're there in field goals the same. You had 82 field goals this year, and you had 78. Last year. What's been the key for you just with your improvement and how you've really stepped into this role with this team?
I would say definitely just experience and like learning from the prior 2 years, and then also that with combined with opportunity, I think goes into it. But just also like a sense of just being, I guess, like a continuity with the team and just being able to play together. And I think like playing with like our junior class has been together for so long. I think we all understand each other's games and different things like that. So I think it's a credit to really our whole, like everybody's come back, and even our new guys, just like being able to understand like my game and put me in positions to do well, and vice versa, that kind of thing.
Can I add on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think obviously he wouldn't say this because he's humble, but this guy is one of the hardest guys, hardest working guys I've ever been around. So it's testimony to his hard work. He's been in the gym for the past 3 years consistently. I think it's just the fruits of his work is showing.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. All right, let's change gears a little bit here and talk about what you guys going on. I mean, like I talked about it when we first started this segment with classes, right? You guys, what have you guys declared your majors now as juniors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you using?
I'm doing a major in psychology.
Okay.
And potentially I'm applying for the business concentration. So if I get into that, I'll be like a business concentration.
Awesome. What about you, Kenny?
And then I'm poli-sci with a concentration in psych.
All right.
Yeah.
And you guys declare them at the end of last year or the beginning of this year? Or how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's like end of your sophomore year, you have to declare it. So we waited to the last possible moment to to decide to throw it in there. But yeah.
So what are you guys, the first week of classes, what's going on right now? Like what's the class that you're kind of like, and either interested in, or you've had one class so far and you're like, wow, either this is going to be fun or this isn't what I expected it to be.
I mean, I could go first. I did yesterday. I was telling Zeno because I think he was taking like it was a psych class at like 10:10, and I was taking it was like a international relations kind of class. And I like told him, I was like, oh, can you please put my name down just in case I want to go to that one? So I'm like thinking, okay, that's my fail safe. And I go to my original class that I have in my schedule, and like within the first 10 minutes I'm like, nah, this class is not gonna be good for me. But I stick it out, I listen, and I'm like, all right, we'll see. And then as I leave, I'm like asking Zeno, I'm like, yo, like how is that other class, like, because I think that's what I'm gonna have to take. He's like, no, that one's not it. So back to the drawing board. But no, I think I have it squared away now. But I'm doing like a American politics is like my primary subfield, so kind of just filling my schedule with like a couple of those kind of classes. So,
awesome. Yeah. Do you guys try, if you can, to try and get in classes with each other? Or, I mean, I guess it depends on your major too when you get to this point. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I mean, we had quite a few classes together, but you know, obviously we major in different things now, so
yeah,
it's kind of hard to do that. But yeah.
All right. What are you taking right now that either interests you or you're like, oh, I got to get out of this?
I just have three. I'm in four classes right now.
Okay.
Three of them just towards my major. I like all of them, so I think I'm going to stay in all of them.
Okay.
And then I'm taking the unsettling science class. I have no idea what it's about. And it's actually after practice, so I'm going to go and see what it's about. But okay. I just heard from a friend it was very interesting, so we'll see.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Student athletes.
Wow.
Some more than others.
Well, I was going to ask, what's your dream jobs?
Dream jobs? I mean, I think, as a dream, I definitely want to play basketball for as long as I can. And then after that, I'm trying to like kind of set things in stone for possibly like a different finance career. But also, like I said, like American politics and that kind of thing also interests me. So I'm a little bit all over the place. But I mean, I feel like still young to figure it out. So just taking it day by day. You're
going to be on the campaign trail?
Well, nah, I don't know. I don't know about all that. But so,
yeah, for me, I've always been around basketball. And honestly, I don't see myself doing anything outside of basketball, even after I'm done playing. So hopefully, you know, I can get into the business side of basketball, the administration side, okay. Maybe coaching, maybe, I don't know, like being a GM, stuff like that. So I don't know.
I was going to say, you said psychology was the major, right?
Yeah,
you declared.
Yeah.
So like psychology helps understand where other people are at, like understanding, you know, because you guys are on a team and, you know, there's a lot of you actually on this team.
Yeah.
But everybody kind of responds differently to different motivational factors and things of that nature. But I'm not a psychology major, as you can tell by that explanation. So.
what did you major in?
I majored in sport management with a business minor. And then I got a master's degree in business from.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I wish you had a sports management for undergrad. I feel like I would have probably did that.
Yeah.
They don't have a business either. Yeah, no business.
It's like a
graduate school, the school of business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can minor in it.
It's like a special concentration. That's the thing I'm applying for.
Okay.
And it's like very limited spots. I think it's very hard to get into. I think like 60 or something. It's very hard. Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thanks for sitting down, coming in, and speaking with us. Kenny Noland, Zinedine Bedri. I've gotten really good at saying that. I'm saying it right, right? It took me 3 years. Zinedine Bedri. Yes.
Now,
I don't need
games.
The pronunciation guide anymore from Steve.
The way games, they butcher my name.
It's a constant battle. I got to say.
Yeah.
I fight for you. I do.
I appreciate it, man.
I talk to everybody who's going to be saying your name.
I'm
like, Zinedine Bedri. That's the full name. If you're mentioning last name, Bedri.
Yeah.
What else? What are like the craziest things you've probably heard from that?
Bro, I think freshman year at Harvard, they were like, Zine to Dine.
Oh, I remember that. I was listening. Zine I was watching
dine.
That. Oh,
I was
horrible.
Zine to Dine. I don't know if I was there for that.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. When you guys are like watching film back, I mean, you probably don't have the audio on, right? But it's the broadcast.
Yeah.
Do they? Broadcast. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, our broadcast team does a very good job. But
yeah.
Mostly away games, it depends. It really depends. Yeah. I felt like Albany did a good job.
Okay.
Yeah. They were like one of the few away games that didn't mess up my name, but usually they mess it up. I'm used to it.
Yeah,
so.
That's fine. It's okay. It happens. My last name gets messed up a lot by people, but I don't play basketball, so it's a bit different. It's not being said on ESPN Plus. But no, guys, again, thanks for stopping by. I know it's been a busy week for you with classes starting up again, but wishing you guys the best of luck the rest of the year, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm pretty confident in you guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
And that's going to do it for our third episode of the season of the Morningside Hoops podcast. Steve, I thought Kenny and Z did a really nice job giving us their perspective on the weekend to this point, and were really great in answering those questions.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, those two guys are a very strong voice in that locker room, and they're part of the leadership crew that the team's got. I mean, I know they're juniors, but they're very experienced guys. All 3 years they've played significant minutes in their career, so very much not surprised by the way that they handled that part of the conversation. And it's all about responding and turning the page.
That's right.
Whether you come off a loss or a win, it's on to the next thing. The next challenge, and
that's right.
I'm sure they'll be ready.
They still have 11 Ivy League games in front of them, as we talked about, including on the road this Saturday at Penn before they come home for two games next weekend, correct?
Yep.
Against Harvard and Dartmouth.
Correct,
so a lot of big games in front of them. And who knows, Steve, maybe in 2 weeks we'll be sitting here talking to a 3-3 Columbia men's basketball team.
Very
Don't
well
say
in the cards.
I told you so.
No, it's in the cards.
Yeah.
It's in the cards.
We also appreciate Cecilia Collins and Blau Tor stopping by. We wish the women's basketball team continued success as they will be home this Saturday at 2 p.m. to take on Penn. And Steve, it is Youth Basketball Day. There'll be a post-game autograph session with the players. And there's also a National Girls and Women in Sports Day clinic for youth ages 5 to 12. There'll be a pre-game clinic in the Blue Gym. You can find information on that on social media, on @ColumbiaLions and @CULionsWBB. So we hope, bring your kids to the game and come an hour early and participate in the pregame clinic.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. The autograph session is always cool, too, because the men did one after the Cornell game to open Ivy play, and there's a long line of kids and families getting the schedule posters signed by the guys, and I think the players like it just as much as the fans do.
It kind of it removes you from the seriousness of the situation when you see all the kids lined up after the game, and the players really enjoy it too. You see a lot of smiles on their faces when the kids come up and want their autograph. So looking forward to that. And Steven, thanks again for coming on this podcast every week.
Hey, we'll be back next week.
This is the Morningside Hoops podcast. You can catch us on all major platforms, including Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey. Also, I just realized this week, wherever you get your podcasts, just search for us, Columbia Athletics Morningside Hoops. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.